Hello, everybody. This is Love from Above with your sibling spirit guides. I'm Maureen, and this is my brother.
Ryan, hi everyone.
Yeah, so on this podcast, we share channeled messages from star beings, ascended masters, and occasionally our ancestors. And today's podcast is all about the truth about our origins. And whatever you think that truth is, let me tell you, we got something a little bit different for you. This is not something that I've never heard of. And so we're going to cover the origins of human life and important lessons that can be learned from the process of creation. And all of this information comes from a group that identifies themselves as the Seeders. And they describe themselves as the creators of all life on all planets. So I don't know. Brian, you want to kick this off with our first topic?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, this is interesting. When's the first time we heard? I guess it was starting in February we heard from them, and probably six or seven times, I think, in total, right? But yeah, so the first one was how life does not arise organically. And what they mean by that is it's never organic. It requires a precise series of events. And so, they bring forth what did not exist before. But, you know, all this about just what we read in the science books growing up and stuff. And this was, for us, everything was planned to a precise level. And so what else did you want to take it from there and go into some of the other things they said?
Well, I just think it's funny. Like they talk about that there's much thought is planted into developing a species, and meetings are held. Like I can just imagine, like all of these meetings, and so it's really interesting. And they said the Seeders come forth on multiple levels to assist with the procreation process of any given planet. The nutrient levels are monitored. Care for placement of probes expand the light within the precise location of the planet. In this way, multiple areas can develop and grow into different regions, desert, mountains, sea, and sand. So they're not only the creator of us as human beings, but creator of all life forms, including the planet, which is just really, I don't know. Have you ever come across information with regards to this kind of material before?
In one of the Dolores Cannon, it did talk about how there was beings that came and seeded the planet. They didn't go into a ton of detail. I don't know if you recall that, but they did mention this. So it wasn't totally new, but these beings, went in a lot more detail about this. And so speaking of that, the next thing next topic was around the process of creating is universal. So they said, the development process for species, which involves first a thought, then testing alternate realities before cellular creation. But that process applies to really everything, right? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they went into a lot of detail with this with one of their sessions. And because they said, we are the creators of our life. So just as they are creator of all life and all planets, we create our own individual lives. And if we understand this process, that first it's a thought and then it goes into action. And they gave the example, like it doesn't really matter what you want to accomplish, whether you want to win an award or get a promotion or find a new romance. It's all the same process. And they gave the example of, if you wanted to start dating someone new. So first in your thoughts, you would start to think about like, what do I want in the partner? Do I want him or her to be funny or to get along well with my family or whatever the characteristics that you would prize? And then the next step would be the demo step, which is where you would actually start to take action and go out and date. And then maybe you decided you wanted someone who was really funny, and then you decide, oh, being with someone funny is not that funny itself. So you revise what you we rise the characteristics that you prize. So it's just, I thought that that was really, really fascinating. And they say, in this way, all matter is birth. And once you understand the process, you can apply it to anything you wish to desire.
So I agree. We should start selling this as a manifestation course, right, Maureen? And there you go, the three-step process. No, but it is cool. I mean, it's really true. I mean, for anything that you want, it's you can apply this process, and so it's it's really interesting to hear that from them. So, all right. So the next topic is around human creation, and this was very interesting. I thought the Cedars talk about using volunteers with unisex bodies to birth the new species on Earth, and that careful they select the birthing locations was carefully selected and constantly monitoring. That was a new one for me. So
Did you ever think you'd be on a podcast, brother, sharing this information?
yeah, again, I'm just the messenger here. I'm not, but yeah, it's interesting. Unisex bodies. I really don't know what to make of that, but I'm gonna just leave that where it is. I have a lot of questions, but that's not the time for
Yeah, so they went into that they used host forms, which means the birthing process was done with a volunteer. And they said these volunteers sacrificed greatly to bring life onto this planet, with numerous life forms, which could not exist without the hosting process. So what does that mean? Again, I would have numerous questions with regards to this. And these unisex beings who volunteered to deliver new life are recognized for their valiant efforts. So, and then they went on to say that the placement of these first humans was in the fertile area of the lower half of our planet, and that this location was specifically picked because of the abundance of plants to sustain the human form. So I guess the original humans were vegetarians like you and I, brother.
Sounds like it. Sounds like it. Yeah. So I'm very interested. Very interesting to learn this. But then, I'm just going to keep because we have so much material to get through, and I'm trying to keep these to a consumable amount of time. So I'm just going to keep cranking on these. So then they talk about the importance of balance. And the Cedars emphasize the need for precise planning and balance to create life. So they mentioned the importance of the chakras. And again, we've heard this before, the sound om for human well-being. Is that something you do on a regular basis, Maureen? I really don't, but I've heard that in other books and maybe podcasts too.
Well, I will tell you, after we got this message, I dug out of my storage unit an Om tuning fork, and I love listening to it. And so for those of you who don't know, there's these tuning forks like you would use like in a musical class in high school or something, and you just hit it on the palm of your hand, kind of like you would do with like a singing bowl, and then just put it up to your one of your chakras or your ear or your head or your third eye. And I've started to do that. And then I have on my YouTube music a bunch of chants of Om, and I do listen to it once a day. And then before yoga, because that's a practice in yoga, usually begin by saying Om. And I had kind of, since I practice on my own without a class, and I had skipped that part, but now I really do say three Oms a day, and it does feel good. I mean, it really does feel good. So they said that that is the sound of this planet, and balance can be initiated by sound. The harmonic sound of the ever-present Om, which is the signature of this planet, can help to align and open your chakras. So, yeah, that's a quick and easy fix to align and open your chakras.
So yeah, good recommendation there. So start doing that. And the other thing that we do on a daily basis that they recommend, I don't know if anyone's familiar with this, but it's called the Merkaba. And we use a Maureen Saint Germain meditation that's like 8 minutes long. And they say the Merkaba is an essential tool in creating the optimal balance in human form. And the optimal balance is achieved when the central points of the human frame are open and receptive to receiving new experiences and new information. So that's why we do that, and it helps us, work on being open to anything new that we need to receive. So it's good to hear that we're on track with that practice. What did you think of that, Maureen?
You were the one, Brian was the one who first found these Merkaba meditations, and I've been committed to. How long have we been doing these now on a daily basis?
It's got to be at least 100 days, yeah, I'd say.
At least. So it is, it's just a good practice to get into. And I think it would relate to one of the other things they said with regards to balance. They gave this image of a spinning top. And so if you ever played, like, with a top as a kid, you know that once you get it going, it can spin on its own with its own energy. And the same is true. Like, once we get our balance into alignment, then we can continue with like a great energy without much effort. So I thought that that was really interesting as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, good. And so the Merkaba and the Om. So yeah, a lot of good information here. So they also go on to talk about the primary goal of all species is to elicit love. And the Cedars describe their core mission is eliciting love from all species, with humans having this as their primary goal. And they gave some good examples of this. You want to go into some of the examples?
Well, they said that it goes in perfectly with our podcast, Love from Above, because so often this topic comes to the forefront is love. And they said that love is our first mission and the goal by which all of our lives are measured. And then they went in to say, which isn't this the truth, that loving yourself is often the most difficult task. Which something that I could definitely relate to, but they went into like that each species that they create like has each species has like the primary goal is love, but there's also like a goal, like they said their goal for the butterfly was to elicit beauty. So who can't look at like the beauty of a butterfly's wings or how light they are, say, flitter from flower to flower and just be, it's honestly, when I see a butterfly, I just kind of hold my breath and just, take in that sight. And I know you have a lot of butterflies around your house, right, Brian?
Right, yeah, I sit in the back, and I was just noticing yesterday, there's always m so many butterflies. I love it, and hummingbirds and dragonflies. So yeah, I'm grateful for all of that. So the next topic was around this: the cedar's job is never done. So it's not like they just, plop these life forms on a planet and they're done. They're on the next thing. So there it says it's their really duty to babysit the life forms that they've inspired into creation. So they're like parents who are dotingly attending their newborn, watching them growing into the fullest expressions of themselves, and that they're really committed to all life forms throughout the multitudes of galaxies. That sounds like a big job.
I Yeah, and you know what? They actually talked about that in one of the sessions, and they showed me this vision where, because they explained that they're responsible for all life on all, on all planets, on all everywhere. And then I saw this vision of like a galaxy, but then kind of switched to its side. So when you see it from the broad point of view, it looks so big, but when it was switched to the side, it was very narrow. But I still do think it's like a huge responsibility. And yeah, they said that they are still around. And they also went into this that just as a computer you used 20 years ago is no longer relevant, the same applies for the human skeletal form as the body absorbs more light and humans restrict their diets. So the nutrients enrich the bodily form, become optimal. In this way, the body is likened to a speed racer. So they're constantly coming to adjust and attune our life forms. So, the body that existed like 50 years ago isn't really applicable today. I mean, what do you think about that?
I mean, yeah, I think we've read a lot about this. Don't you think this applies also to we've read about how our DNA structure is being fine-tuned and it's being expanded or something? I can't remember the details, but I know a lot of books we've read have talked about that. Also, more of a crystalline structure. So there's a lot of different things going on here to help us, transform as, just like they said, is we're not just the same structure as when we were born. We're constantly evolving, which is re really interesting.
Yeah, it is really interesting. It's just fascinating. And we have read stuff, when you read as much as we do, it's hard to kind of place where it is come from. But we have her, I think it was Dolores Cannon's book who talk about that I think there's more DNA strands. I think that that was the issue, that there's more DNA strands. So
Right.
it is interesting. And the other thing that came through in this session, which was really interesting, is they talked about the spiral. And our friend Karen just showed us this information that corresponded with this like 2 nights ago. But they said the spiral is indeed the form of the evolutionary path. It is never straightforward, but always a recircling of opportunities to relearn from. The spiral is the natural form of growth of all life forms in most planets. There are a few exceptions, for we do like to tinker. I love that sentence. The spiral pattern cannot be improved upon, so we have reused it over and over again. I love that sentence. Like, oh, we like to tinker, but we found the best way, but occasionally we like to tinker with.
Yeah, yes, the spiral is indeed the evolutionary path. So it's, yeah, it was very coincidental because we were just speaking with Karen the other night, and she was just talking about this. And then we realized this was in one of our sessions with the Cedar. So very, very cool that both those things aligned. So
Yeah.
what's your overall big picture from all these different things? What do you think of the Cedars, and what do you want to make sure that we pass on to our listeners?
There's so much good information from them, and FYI, I did reach out to them like a day or two ago and just said, we're going to do a podcast on you. Is there any more information? And they said, no, this is the complete information that they want us to share. But I love the idea that they're like a doting parent. So we all love to have our parents, our grandparents dote on us, even at my age. But that they're just lovingly surrounding us and always involved with creating a better life for all of the creations that they've made throughout the universe. So I don't know how they do this, Yeah, I just feel really honored and blessed that they've communicated through us. And there's a lot of good information, the Om, the Merkaba. Yeah, what are your takeaways from it?
Well, the other thing, if I recall this correctly, they said, we are here to assist, and I think we could call on them if we have different issues or questions that they could help out with. So, we've called on, our ancestors and archangels, but that's something to keep in mind, I guess, to call on the cedars for help with certain situations. What do you think?
I think I would call upon them if I were having health problems or some kind of
Right.
problem with my body. Since they are, it says they're constantly tweaking and attuning the life forms that they create. So I think if anyone is, undergoing any kind of health issue, that they would be someone that certainly has the capacity. If they can create us, then they can help heal us. So, yeah, but really, really interesting and lots of information that was certainly new to me. How about for you?
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, some of this we've heard bits and pieces, but it was very interesting to have all this, like in reviewing all these different sessions and everything that they've communicated. I think it was, very enlightening. So, thanks to the Cedars for providing this week's content. And I guess the other thing that, I was just going to mention, we also got some guidance, and this is a ways away, but so we reference all these sessions, but we've been called on to publish those. So look for that sometime. If we don't really know what we're doing there, but we'll get to the bottom of it and publish it on maybe a Kindle of all these different sessions, so that you'll have from the Sibling Spirit Guides all these different sessions, and be able to review all the content in a book form. So
Yeah.
keep posted for that.
I do think that, I mean, there's so much information that we have. It's really, I mean, there's a wealth for us to pick from for each podcast. And so yeah, I mean, I do think that it would be wonderful. And yeah, I channeled that this morning, and I was quite surprised. And we got a little, I texted Brian. I said, we've got some homework.
Okay, I'm good. I'm good with that. So yeah, I'll give this some another little project to take on, but it'll be good. Looking forward to that. And that's really it. That's all we had for today. Why don't you close us out, Maureen?
Yeah, so I wanted to close off with just one of the quotes of the loving messages that we had for this group. And they said, humans think that the cedars come to create life and then leave. A mother would never leave her newborn babe. The same is true with ourselves. We dawdling watch over the life forms that we have brought into existence. We are here to assist. So again, we're surrounded by love and light, and we're grateful to share these messages with you all, and we'll talk to you next week.